AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their soundest thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I am one of your hosts, Cameron Collins, and I am here today with the Ultras. Dan, Alex, and Cedar, what is up, gentlemen? The season's over. How you feeling?
Yeah, I just want to press fast forward and get to preseason so we can get it started again. I was putting up Christmas lights today, just wishing that Christmas was over and we're ready to play soccer again.
It does feel weird having no soccer, but I guess there was probably some Premier League today, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah, there was.
Mo Salah complaining about not playing or something.
Yeah, man. What a... God. I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, you know, I'm really glad I'm a pretty casual Liverpool supporter because it, like, sucks right now. It, like, sucks so bad. It's one thing to, like, perform so terribly. And then it's a whole other thing to just, like, have, you know, a club legend purportedly be, you know, super unhappy. I mean, it's just, I would be very sad to see him move on, unless he comes to the Sounders. That would be great. I think, actually, if Adrian opens up his wallet a little bit more, let's go get Mo. Why not?
Because he'd get shut down in practice every day by Nuhu.
Nuhu's gonna be a starter forever.
Yeah, rumor has it though. Was it Sounder at Heart reporting that they're trying to shop Nuhu or maybe Nico?
I mean,
that might have been Nico. I don't know. I can't speak on that. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Very, very interesting.
You know, if they're looking at shopping him, it is kind of interesting because, you know, y'all hear that screaming in the background? No? Okay. All right. My kids are screaming next door, and I was want to make sure that y'all didn't hear my 12-year-old dropping F-bombs with the 9-year-old. So, you know, the last thing Craig said to us was, like, hey, we want to keep this team as much as possible. And then they trade Leyva, and they're talking about trading Nuhu, too. That's – And Rothrock's walking. That's not keeping the team as, you know, super together.
I mean, we don't know not Rothrock is walking yet. We just know that he's going out and trying to get offers. They could easily come back and be like, this is what I'm being offered. And they'll go, okay, I guess that's what you're worth.
That's possible.
Looks like we have lost Alex. He's struggling. So let's do a little talk about the Seahawks real quick there, since Cedar, you're wearing, is that a TJ Houshmandzadeh jersey? No, he was 84. Is that a Golden Tate jersey?
Golden Tate. Yes, sir.
You're going to disrespect Russell Wilson like that?
Hey, no comment on all the off field stuff, but boy, on the field. Yeah. He was so much fun to watch. This Seahawks team is super fun to watch too. How are we feeling?
Yeah, it's good win today. Probably got me into the final of my fantasy championship game with JSN deciding to show up in the second half.
Yes, Absolutely. Yeah, they turned it on. It's nice to see, even though, you know, obviously you want everything firing on all cylinders, including the offense. And they've had, you know, a lot of clunky moments in the past couple of games. But it's nice to see us be able to win in, you know, through multiple kind of ways. Again, having that defense is really, I mean, it's cliched, but it's true. Defense wins championships. That's how we won our Super Bowl. So, I like the formula. I think the real test though is going to be, can we beat the Rams and can we beat the Niners? I think if we don't beat both those teams, then I don't think we don't deserve to get far in the playoffs. You know, we got to beat both of those teams headed into the postseason.
How'd the Cowboys do?
Terrible. Probably how you would expect. Yeah, they got pretty bad by the Lions, and I think that pretty much ends their playoff hunt. So they can, they're being realistic. They're done for the year. But all the Seahawks, that defense cooking. Y'all, I would like to say you're welcome. I haven't had any thank yous or anything for giving y'all Marcus Lawrence.
Boy, he's been
or nothing. So enjoy
thank
that.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. So I wonder why our defense isn't very good anymore.
Alex,
it's a mystery.
What about you? You watch any football today?
No, I saw the scores. I saw that Seattle gave Atlanta the business.
Waited until the second half and to do it, but yeah.
I didn't see, yeah. And then I seen Detroit gave Dallas the business. And then, yeah. I mean, I do like pick-ems with some of my buddies, but I don't really watch the games. I just pick a team who I think is going to win, and I lose and donate them $5 every week.
Got to stop picking the Cowboys.
No, yeah, so here's the thing. When I pick the Cowboys to win, they lose, and when I pick them to lose, they win. So
you should pick them to lose every week. Dan will be happy.
Yeah, the only game I've watched all year is Thanksgiving, so I'm doing pretty good with breaking my addiction to the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Well, this is a soccer podcast, and maybe we should talk about soccer. And I think, you know, we did a lost episode on the end of the season, but we have an MLS Cup to talk about, and maybe that's where we should start. Who wants to lead off talking about the MLS Cup?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun game to watch. For, you know, somebody that I really didn't care who won, it was as a neutral, I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, Cedar, what'd you think?
I got to watch most of the first half, and then I had to go to work. But yeah, it was definitely pretty exciting from what I saw, and I was paying attention to it while I was at work, and I saw, you know, Vancouver had some life, and then, you know, it went away, but it seemed like, you know, from the first half when I watched it, Vancouver, they were up for it, and obviously they had a little bit of bad luck, and again, to win big games, you not only have to be good, you also have to be lucky. So it just wasn't their day. And I'm sure, you know, Messi fans everywhere, the league, Don Garber, David Beckham, they're all elated right now, you know, because this is the proof of their whole thing coming to fruition. And I mean, it's a different conversation, but, you know, potentially, as much as I don't necessarily want to see Miami win, I think Vancouver would have been. It's already a really cool story, but just for them to cap it all off with the win would be incredible for them. As much as I didn't want Miami to win, I do think that potentially, on the whole, this could help
propel the league forward in terms of its global standing, especially with changing the calendar, you know, to match the European calendar, and, you know, potentially opening up the spending rules, and genuinely a concerted effort from the entire league, all the owners, to elevate the league into, you know, a higher stratosphere, which I do think is possible, and maybe this is part of that. So if that ends up happening, great. But yeah, I definitely feel for Vancouver, our little brothers.
What about you, Alex?
They got to be pretty disappointed.
Yeah. No, I think that overall it was a good game. It was, you know, fun to watch as a neutral. I was, you know, kind of hoping that Vancouver would maybe score another one. I felt like if you watch the game, you could see that Vancouver controlled most of the game. And the reason why they lost was that Miami had three moments in transition. And that's what ended up winning the game. They didn't have overall the best team, but what they had was the best players in moments. And that's the difference between, you know, winning a trophy or not winning a trophy. It's going to come down to those high-pressure moments.
Yeah, I mean, probably unlucky. You know, the first goal, a few mistakes from Vancouver. But for the ball to hit off both posts and then hit off the outside of the post, on the like, they go up 2-1 in that moment. That changes the game entirely. Everything's different from then on. So,
yeah,
I do feel bad for Vancouver, but I was excited when Miami won because we know how I feel. We got to prove that only spending money wins if we're ever going to see money spent on the Sounders.
No, yeah, and it's like they say, goals change games. And if you really think about it, two goals that Miami scored were off Vancouver's mistakes. Yeah. One in the midfield where they picked his pocket, and then another was an own goal, which was unlucky.
Yeah, but he kept the guy onside. And then when he went on his run, he ran right in the lane where the cross was going to go. Like, yeah, it was unlucky, but at that point, there was a few other mistakes that he had made on defense leading up to that own goal. Same guy. If it had been one of our players, we would have been killing him.
Yeah. No, but I think I'm not upset with the result. It just, I agree with you, is that it has to, in order to compete in the world now, you have to pay, you know, the top players to come to your team. Like, this game is pay to play.
Or you just have to have a really good, you have to have a GM that can hit on the low level guys to be impactful, and then you got to hit on the high level guys, and that's what we're not doing. Well, we're not signing high-level guys. Yeah, our DPs are good players, but they're not the same level DPs as teams that are, you know, winning. Jeremiah O'Shan tried to come after me, like, Vancouver, look at Vancouver's payroll. Like, yeah, we don't have a DP. Yeah, sure, he's not a DP this year, but his contract goes into a DP. It's backloaded. We don't have a DP on our team that's going to make as much money as Mueller. Like, we don't have a player of that caliber. We just don't.
And Mueller's a much better player than all of our DPs.
Yeah, which, you know, and I think those of us that want money spent aren't even saying spend that amount of money. We're saying just sign two more Pedros instead. You know what I mean? Like, spend enough money that you're signing higher. I mean, I want, you know me, I've always said I want a Gabriel Pike. Like, give me some more players like that out of South America.
Yeah, I don't think that the people asking for spinning are asking for us to keep up with LAFC or Miami, but, you know, keep up with Vancouver would
That's
be nice.
That's the false dichotomy. It's something that Nicholas likes to say on this podcast a lot. And I'm like, why are you so intent on not spending money, man? This isn't your money.
Well, Well, I don't think it's anybody's money because I don't think it exists at all.
Yeah,
so.
That could be true. And you know, I will say, to Adrian Hanauer's credit, he's never taken a dime out of this club. Every dollar he's put in has stayed in the club. So this isn't – sure, his value's gone way up, and one day it'll be a huge money-making, like generational wealth that he already has, but, you know, even more. But that is not what he's – like, he's losing money on this club every year because he doesn't take anything out. So maybe this call that the Sounders have made isn't just about a stadium. Maybe it's about signing good players too. I don't know. We will see.
Well, the front office has to have a, you know, idea of how they stack up with other clubs. It has to, they have to be able to see the trend too, right? Like, you have Miami coming, Miami brings in Messi, then you bring in, you know, Son at LAFC. So the trend is the, what, 8 million we spent on Raul is not going to be able to keep up if that's our only transfer ends.
Yeah, it's interesting. I forgot to do it the other day, but I was going to look at what that was in today's dollars, to figure that out. But yeah, I mean, what do you think the Sounders need to do here to be able to compete with these teams?
If we're not going to change course, then keep producing Obed Vargas's from Selma Defiance. That's probably the only way that it's going to happen. You know, and maybe Snyder Brunel, maybe he's that guy. Maybe he can come in after this year and pick up where Obed left off.
It's not that much different, actually, because I think he was between 6 and 7 million, and we'll say 7. And that is 9.5 million in today's money. So that's, okay. I mean, I think that's. If we're not signing a DP of that level when we have an open spot, we're not serious about competing for championships. We're serious about the Pete Carroll type of game that the Seahawks play for years where, sure, you just want to make the playoffs and then maybe you'll get lucky. Yeah, we can get a star, but we're not going to be a perennial contender for the MLS Cup or like playing in the game.
One thing that I think, though, is as long as we have Brian, I think we always have a chance to punch up. Know what I mean? I think that does give us a unique ability that, hey, any day we can beat Miami. We beat Miami this year, right? And so it's really a testament to what Frank has been able to do with what he has brought in and Brian's coaching. So
agreed.
Yeah, I think to echo what you guys are saying, we do need to spend more money, and you know, get a son of our own, get even like you know, getting a player the level of a Peck or a Buonga, you know, because yeah, Brian can do a lot, and we've got the Northwest grit and all this kind of stuff, but you know. If the league really is moving into this upward trajectory and they really want to be a destination place for some top end talent that is considering going to Europe or coming from Europe with the transfer windows aligning, with those schedules aligning, if we don't catch up to that, I mean, I can see us being, I don't know. I mean, I can see us like this being in the worst case scenario. This is the last season that we win a trophy for like a very long time, unless it's like a flash in the pan leagues cup run. Right. Which is, it's nice to win a trophy. That was super fun when we did it this year. I mean, that was an incredible game, an incredible run, but what we really want is MLS Cup. We want another Champions League victory. The way it's going now, I just, you know, unless there's a big step up, in financial investment, it doesn't feel like we're going to be a legit contender for those competitions moving forward. And, you know, like, we'll still, like you said, we'll still be competitive, right? You have that Pete Carroll kind of effect in the Seahawks for the last part of his tenure. And it was like, oh, yeah, we're always competitive, but we're not going to actually win the whole shebang. And I think for a club like us, that's what we're used to. We want to be as good as anybody else and have a legitimate shot at winning the biggest trophies.
I'm looking at the contracts of the highest paid players in the league. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, the top 20 paid players in the leagues. How many Sounders do you think are on that list?
Yep. Maybe one.
You can use your words, Alex. This is a podcast. It's not visual.
Zero. He's afraid to talk after dropping and coming back.
Yeah, zero. There's no Sounders on that list.
And so, are we surprised?
I'm a little surprised we don't have at least one. But, you know, I don't expect to pay $20 million for a player like Messi or $11 million for Son or almost $9 million for Sergio Buckets and Almiron for almost $8 million is kind of like a bust, I think. But Lozano is $7.6 million.
He was kind of a bust, though, based on production.
Yeah, but he clearly meant something to the team. But then you go down like and look at players.
He was more like a signing to get the Hispanic community, like, fan base into the stadium. That's the way I saw that transfer.
But Ryan Gaul, Dennis Bouanga, you know, some Joseph Paintsill. Those, we should be buying players that are similar to those players, in my opinion.
I just say that we go sign the best player on Curaçao or Caraco for my Canadian friends. Oh. Or sign the top player from North, Macadamia.
Oh my God. Wayne Gretzky, man.
We don't have to sign the players from Brazil, from Spain, England, Germany. Go after some players in some of the smaller nations. The smaller nations produce talent.
I mean, look at Denny Bouanga. The point, I think the point is like, okay, yeah, you go down that list, some of those guys are busts. Some of those guys, it's like, okay, yeah, we're not spending $20 million on a single player. That's not our business model. But let's take our, you know, because clearly I do think that Weibel has, so far, I think he's done a positive job with the resources that he's been given. As a fan who doesn't know all the contract details and the ins and outs of who's making what and, like, you know, the nitty gritty, I do have a generally positive feeling about Weibel. I just think that, you know, we have to just bump it up a little bit. I mean,
we are the 15th ranked team in spending. And it's crazy. We spend less than $20 million. So Messi makes more than our entire team combined.
It's kind of like that weird, like, you know, kind of like the Mariners thing for so many years. It was like, you can see them kind of have, you know, build a good core. And then it's just like, oh, just a little bit bump up in financial investment, and this team really could be a contender. And then look at what happened last year, right? I think, you know, and not that we weren't contenders this year, but we just didn't have it to, like, get past Minnesota, you know? I mean, we got to get past the first round at least, especially against a team like Minnesota, no matter what the format is. Or I think for this team is really, really good as it is, but we just think about what, you know, $5 million more dollars would do. Is it that missing piece, right? Think about $10 million. What would that get us? Would that be the difference between us losing in the first round and making it all the way to MLS Cup and having a rematch against Inter Miami? Which I would have loved. I mean, that would have been great. Can you imagine that?
And let's be clear, we're not talking about like spending more under the salary cap, because we max out the salary cap. It's about spending more on DP players, or I mean, I think we do a pretty good job with our TAM players, considering we have Jesus Ferreira as a TAM. But it's you know, instead of paying Jordan Morris $2 million, you're paying someone $7 million.
Well, Jesus Ferreira is a TAM right now because we promised him next year he'll be the DP.
Only so. If he performs. It's not automatic, and so far he has not performed.
I get it. It's not automatic, but it's, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, he bet on himself. We gave him the opportunity to bet on himself, and, you know, if he's going the way he is, it'll work out for him. But, you know, that was part of the deal of getting him at that TAM.
Which I think is why our payroll is sort of low, is because we've been able to work these contracts in an interesting way. But,
you know, but at the end of the day, Jesus has to go out and earn it.
Yeah.
He didn't have a whole bunch of goals or assists, you know, this past season. So unless he goes on a tear, I don't know what his escalators are. I don't know the numbers. But if he doesn't hit the numbers, then he's not going to be a DP. And then that we can use that money elsewhere and he'll still be TAM.
He had 4 goals and 7 assists. So not a bad year by any stretch, but I don't think that those are probably not a DP escalator. And Jordan Morris was, he became a DP when he scored 14, was it 13? Even though 11 of them were from the wing. So yeah, I think obviously it'll depend on what those numbers are, but you know, it's the Sounders have a good quality team. It's just they're missing the X factor. They're missing a Dempsey, an Obafemi Martins, a Raul Ruy Diaz, a Nico Lodero type player. And maybe that's because Pedro isn't on the field. But that's, I mean, even with him out there, you still need a number nine. That to me is the missing. If they had a starting level number nine, just starting level, or even a slightly better, then I think you are great. You go much further.
Yeah, I mean, look at how well, you know, Musovski did in this team, right? And as great as he is, imagine somebody who's like starting for their country, right? And maybe it's not a top eight country or anything like that, but they're good enough to be an international quality starting number nine. Overall, I'm just kind of concerned that, you know, we used to be really good when Garth was here in maximizing all the little rules and all the mechanisms that the league had to offer within this, you know, the super strict salary cap. And just, you know, selling international roster spots. And I'm not saying that we have to stop being smart and stop, you know, using those weird rules to our advantage financially and in building our team. But I just feel like we're on the doorstep of this league changing into just there being a new landscape where you do really truly have to spend to win. And yes, you got to be smart about it too. And I'm not saying let's spend money willy-nilly. We can't do that. But we do have to spend more money. I just feel like that's coming like super soon. And I could see a world in which we maybe don't keep up and we don't change our ways. And we keep trying the same kind of things and it not working. It's like, oh, why aren't we winning anything when Jordan Morris is a DP. It's like, well, that might be your answer.
Yeah, it does. You do. Yeah, it's a dread that the league is just moving a little bit faster than we can keep up in the future. And so we got this, the tip of this team, right? Like, how much longer you got? 2 years this year or next year? And then we're probably going to be done with the core of this team. And I think that's really going to be the test of if we're able to keep up is when we see some of those core pieces change out. So even though, I want stuff now, delayed gratification may be worth it.
Yeah, I think that this after this summer, leading into 2027, is going to be a big change in the league following the World Cup. And I think we're really going to see the change of a league in 2028 once, you know, you have that first year under the new calendar, under your belt. You're like, okay, this is what we can do. This is how it's going to be from now on. So we have to start planning now to be prepared for when that time comes.
I mean, they're already way. I mean, you're scouting players constantly. They have who they want to sign for probably the next 3 or 4 years already picked. And obviously it's fluid and changes, but they, you know, they don't get one, they go to the next, they go to the next, they go to the next. So they're always scouting. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because at that age, it's like, what do you do with a, you know, 2 years from now, you know, Russ Neck's gone. His contract's for one more year. You potentially, you have an older Jordan Morris, you have an older Christian Roldan. I can't see Yamar still being around. There's the players that we've seen be stars in the past won't be here, and you have to build around new players. Obed will be gone one way or another, unless he's a bust, and then he will still be here. But the hope is he'll be gone after the World Cup, and then you have some other bodies that you have to figure out what you're going to do with. Which makes me want to bring up all the off-season moves. I want to know what y'all think about the fact that they declined contracts on Leo Burney, Jacob Castro, Ryan Kent, Travion Souza, and then Bell, Fry, Giapalo, and Rothrock are out of contract. So those are all the players we know for sure aren't coming back. And then they picked up options on some of those other ones that are now under contract. So what have you thought about this offseason so far, and the fact that, you know, it looks like we're moving on from Fry? You know, Jonathan Bell was a pretty good value for what he was getting paid. JP obviously barely played. And then Rothrock going out to try and sign with another team.
I think it's all pretty predictable until you get to the Leyva trade. You know, we're not quite there yet. So everything else was predictable. I had Kent would I don't know. I still got excited whenever I saw him play. So I think I'm different a little bit from some of the fan base there. Maybe Fry comes back, but I think it's pretty clear that Thomas is now the starter. And all stuff that pretty much on par.
I mean, talking to Steph when they did his last contract, he was pretty open about it. He talked to us all about it, you know, just hanging out with them. And they were so far apart, and then they figured it out. I'd be interested to see how far apart they are right now, whether he still thinks he deserves starter money, or if he's willing to come back for less, or if he wants to
I also wanted to.
I have no idea what his mindset is.
I don't know.
He built his house here. He designed it. So I got to imagine he's going to end up living here.
Coming back into his own on the Sounders. I mean, what a glorious idea that is in my mind.
I know
mind,
how I feel at 40.
I guess that dream is dead. I hope for his sake that we were like a good, like,
any type of shit, kinda, but man,
it was a good, like, I know he got injured and all that, but he really had some good flashes. You know, he had to get acclimated to the league.
Down the stretch when they asked him, he's like, I hope for his sake that he's training grounds at 5 a.m. or I have to leave at 5 a.m. to get the training grounds because I need an extra 2 hours.
He seems like a good guy and like a.
Get all the massages and everything so that I'm not
player, so I hope that this will have been a good stop for him along his career.
That's
but
a lot. So I
yeah, everything
I
else
don't know. I
makes sense. I think
he comes back,
you know, it's tough with Fry because that's the kind of guy you build a statue of outside the stadium. So I don't know what's
sure.
going on in terms of their communication, what he wants to do. You know, I guess I could see him, like, if he feels like he could still play, but the Sounders are like, you know, no, we can't spend the money on what you're worth, what you think you're worth. You know, like, it's just not in our budget, you know, with all due respect in the world. I guess I could see him potentially, you know, do a 1-year deal with another team somewhere. And I highly doubt that he's going to, like, pack up and move his whole life to somewhere else. So it would probably be just a kind of mercenary, you know, he deserves to make as much money as he can from his career. I mean, he's one of the, you know, top 2 or 3 goalkeepers in MLS history. I don't think that's very controversial to say. So, you know, he should monetize his value as much as he can. But is it with us or is it with another team? I don't know. And then, yet, I saw that we traded Leyva. Can you guys remind me, like, what we got for him? What did we get? Oh, it was a trend. Oh, cash for? Oh, okay. Oh, right. Well, they have to. Yeah. No, I like this. They're getting, you know, I think they're moving on from players that, you know, they should be moving on. Either there's not enough there or they're you know, their best days are behind them. Like, we have to move forward, you know.
It was a transfer, so we got some sort of money.
It's been like hasn't been discussed yet. No, because it's an out of league
to Mexico. So, I mean, it frees up an interesting amount of money. In fact, there is a lot of money to spend on players available out there. So it's not like they're not going to sign other players, but especially since they now have one goalie, right? Jacob Pastor has one too. And we've seen exactly what you said, Kelvin Leerdam. They couldn't pay him what he was worth, so they let him move on to another team. I mean, I think Brad Evans, that was probably the case too. He went to Kansas City for 1 year and then got sent down to the Kansas City minor team. And then, you know, retired and then came back and became a part of the club. So I think that we've seen the Sounders do that before. They moved on from Ozzie probably earlier than the fans wanted, especially considering what he did in Minnesota. But considering how much he was getting paid and they brought in Gustav Svensson, it ended up working out. So the hope is that they can make some moves to shore up, you know, you got to get a number 9 and someone in the midfield. Now, we went from a position at CDM that was very, very strong to suddenly losing 2 of our CDMs with Danny Leyva and Atencio got traded at the beginning of the year, right? And then now with JP retiring, that was our deepest position. And now we have, what, 3? Snyder, Brunel, Christian,
that's
and
a great
Obed.
Point.
And then probably more than likely they're going to sign Peter Kingston, and he's a CDM from Defiance. I'm pretty sure they have about two or three guys from Tacoma that they're going to give a first-team contract to, see how they look in preseason.
I mean, was I talking to you about this, Alex? I think I want to see us do a little more top-heavy roster. I want to see us spend some more money on starters and bring in some youth players that just bottom, you know, like guys that may not see the field, but pay them league minimum. We don't need to pay as much money all that far down the roster, because clearly we need an injection of some talent at some level.
No, yeah, and given that we're not going to, I don't know if we're doing Leagues Cup this season coming up, but I think it's no Open Cup for either teams due to World Cup. But, I mean, if we're not doing League Cup, you don't have to build the roster this year to be as complete from top to bottom. You know, just, you know, go top heavy. Let the young guys play during the week. At the end of the day, it's harder to miss the playoffs than to make it.
That's true in most American sports at this point, except for baseball. I think baseball is the only one where it's hard to make the playoffs. But let's take a break right there. Let's go listen to an ad, and then we'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Playoffs.
Yeah, so, as much as we talk down and talk shit about our playoffs, it could be worse. Look at Liga MX, where both their semifinals end in ties, and the teams that moved on were the ones that were placed higher during the table.
Was that Tigres? Tigres' little match the other day that was 1-1. Was that a playoff match?
Yeah, they call it the Liguilla. So they tied 1-1, and they both games tied 1-1, so they were 2-2 on aggregate. But Tigres moved on because they ended up in second place, and yeah. Cruz Azul was in third place.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other semifinal game, which was Toluca versus Monterrey, where that game ended in an aggregate score of 3-3. And I checked the score on Google. Google said Monterrey advances on away goals, but that's not the case. Toluca moved on because they finished first place.
What a year for Toluca. They just totally came out of nowhere, it feels like.
And that was without their star winger. He's been hurt for quite some time with a hamstring. But they signed a high-level striker.
That's a weird setup, but is it any different than solving it via a coin flip like we do with penalty kicks? I mean, that's what penalty kicks are. It's basically a coin flip, right? And so you can look at us, and we had Minnesota, you know, we had them on the aggregate, but we didn't go through because we decided to flip a coin at the end of each game.
I mean, it's better than ending on the table, because then we would have lost either way. At least they gave us a chance.
Well, I mean, at least you can make the argument that that made the rest of the season even more important for the other teams, because, you know, if this ends in a tie, you're going to go ahead by your standings. So makes it a little bit more important. That way, if, you know, you have a system where a bunch of teams get into the playoffs, there's actually incentive to finish higher on the table.
Yeah, I guess you're not playing for a tie at that point and go to penalties. You're playing, you got to score a goal.
So it's I think it would definitely change the strategy. You know what? I like it. I think we ought to adopt it. Let's go.
Yeah, and then at the end of the year, we're going to hear you saying the opposite.
Yeah, I won't. Usually it would benefit us, because usually we're the higher seeds. But can you imagine if we didn't make it through the Western Conference Final because we tied LA Galaxy?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you should tweak it, you know, for like, if it's like a Western Conference Final, it should, okay, like that'll go to penalties. But like earlier rounds, it really incentivizes your place in the table.
It's so un-American. That's what it makes me funny. Well, but it's just like people who are Euro snobs that hate playoffs. And I'm like, there's nothing better than playoffs. Nothing. Think about like even in the championship, when you have the playoffs in order to get promoted, if the season's over, I mean, we would have not, the season would have been over like a month left in the season. Then who cares about the rest of the games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, playoffs are great. Playoffs are great. I like playoffs. I think, and look at the World Cup, right? Knockouts.
Alex apparently has a counterpoint.
No, I was going to say, the same people that are talking shit about our playoff system, they love the Champions League. And what is it? It's a playoff. It's, you have a bracket, and then you go do playoffs. In a way, it's like March Madness.
Yeah.
And that's their pride and joy. Oh, the Champions League. Oh, the Europa League.
I think that's the Conference League. The best teams in the world.
Well, we got the best teams in America.
Oh, that's the U.S. Open. Oh, wait, no. They killed that.
Oh, we got the best teams in Major League Soccer. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Canada starts. It's the United States of Canada. What do we call that country? This part of America, yeah? North America?
Oh, that's a... the 51st state.
Yeah. They can take us with them. That final, do y'all see that? The bicycle kick goal in the Canadian Premier League final in the 2 feet of snow?
Oh, I think I seen a clip.
Oh, I think I did. Yeah,
it's incredible.
Who won that?
Ottawa?
No. The other Hamilton.
Forge?
Calvary?
Calvary, yeah. Cavalry FC.
Canadian team won.
Yeah. Vancouver FC is already selling tickets to if you buy season ticket, you get a guaranteed ticket to the Champions League, because they made it because of getting to the Canada Cup final.
Nice. Oh yeah,
so good for them. Having a minor league team in there, I mean, that's why, as much as I hate that the US Open Cup is fucked up by all that stuff, I think they still need a spot in the U.S. Open Cup that goes to like Champions League. So just have USL teams, and a USL team could get into Champions League. How fun would it be to see them go on?
Really cool. I thought there was a spot for the winner of the U.S. Open Cup.
There might be, but the MLS keeps winning it because they put them in. They still put, what, 8 teams in or whatever?
Yeah. I think, though, if there's a, you know, some owner that wants to invest now with the Pro Rail coming to USL, that there's a chance a USL team can win the Open Cup.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be interesting. If that, I think ultimately USL is going to be the second division, and MLS will be the first division. But I think 20 years from now, if you already have Pro Rail set up, that's when the MLS can buy into that. But you got to have no expansion teams for 15 or 20 years first. Because you're not going to tell a guy, pay us $1 billion, and then you're getting demoted down to the next league.
Yeah. What's it?
That'd be funny.
No, I think that I lost my train of thought.
As much as I'm a fan of Pro Rel, there's nothing worse than the Pro Rel psychos on the internet.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's like, you know. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's that coupled with the general, you know, Euro snobbery. It makes it a. There are a lot of places on the internet that just suck to be an MLS fan.
Also, just to be a US, but, US soccer fans are awful on the internet too.
Yeah. Oh God. I think the gist of why we're all talking about this is because, like, again, we don't have a perfect system right now for soccer in America, right? It's imperfect. And I don't know, there's so much potential for it to be really, you know, for it to get better and for just more people to get involved. I think a big thing that's going to hinder that is, even though we've got the World Cup, ticket prices are insane. I mean, it's just absolutely prohibitive. And you're seeing this across, you know, lots of professional sports where they're really making it, feels like it used to be like, you know, like I feel like baseball should be a relatively inexpensive sport to go and watch, especially because there are so many games. You know, it's got more of a blue collar feel to it. And even baseball is super expensive now. They're really pushing up the, you know, the barrier of entry to professional sports in this country for the, you know, the richer and richer, you know, folks.
I think minor league sports are going to get more popular for that exact reason.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Because you can actually, you know, take your family, right? For professional sports, it's, I couldn't even imagine, you know, if I had a family, I was taking everybody and, like, you know, buying a hot dog and soda and all the tickets and parking and all this and that. I mean, that's just thousands of dollars that I probably wouldn't just have to burn on one game, right? I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, my hockey tickets, which is probably the last year I have them, I've sold most of them, are the same price as NFL tickets, but there's 41 home games instead of 10.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
And granted,
that's a lot of money.
I mean, I guess I have to pay taxes on it because it counts as income. So I'm losing money ultimately. But granted, I'm not losing money on selling tickets because I'm mostly selling them for face value. And then I go to so I go to some games. So I'm getting the value for them, which most people don't, though. And for me, the big benefit is I get every show at Climate Pledge, every event at Climate Pledge, I get presale. So,
oh, nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's
probably the only reason I kept it this year. I mean, because I ended up getting to go to Wu-Tang Clan guaranteed. And I sit in the same seat every time. I buy the same seat because it's like above a walkway. So people might walk by you, but you have all the leg room you want. It's just, it's in the back in the club, so it's at the way back, but still, like, it's some good perks. We get some great perks with the Sounders, but we don't have anything like that with the Sounders.
No, right. We'll get free Apple TV and a discount at the concessions and the pro shop.
I will say, I do want to, you know, commend the Sounders organization on season tickets in the supporter section for 1974 game. That's awesome. We need more of that.
Yeah. It's good value.
Yeah, I was able to take advantage of that. But I'm not going to be going to all the games because the commute, especially during the week, is tough for me. So be on the lookout on the Discord because I'll be putting up a ticket for sale sometimes.
I mean, Nicholas wants those 90% of the time, so he always needs an extra. We'll just talk to him. Although weeknight games are different. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For hosts of the show, they get those for free, Alex. Sorry.
No, I have to get my $20 back for the month.
Which just goes to hosting in the end.
Nobody's making a huge profit off of this little economy here.
No. Even though we're the third most popular Sounders podcast in all the land. Number one in...
Woo!
Oh, what's up, dogs? Yeah, I mean, I think the Sounders are an interesting story, but we should probably talk about the very big story beyond Wayne Gretzky having really bad CTE, and that is the World Cup draw happening, which we now know all the games that are happening in Seattle. Well, we know who's playing in all the group stage games, and then if the USA wins the group and then wins against most likely Belgium, they would then play at the game Alex is actually going to in the
team.
It'd be USA versus somebody. So it's pretty crazy that it's here now, right? Like, it felt so far away, and now here we are.
Here we are.
You watched the draw?
I did not, no. I watched you texting about the draw.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of crazy that they made us sit through an hour and a half or 2 hours of bullshit and Trump getting awards. And at the end, he was dancing to YMCA Live. But the Prime Minister of Canada sounded so regal and smart and presidential as compared to our president when he talked that it's embarrassing. And I'm sure the president of Mexico, she did too, but I don't speak Spanish and they didn't provide subtitles. It was interesting for Trump to be somewhere where like a bunch of people were just talking in Spanish and there was no translation. But they got around to it, and the USA got a pretty decent group.
Yeah, it's a trap.
It makes it a little bit more exciting for me because I enjoy winning. I'm going to be the guy that's going to play a 5-year-old in a game, just destroy them in your face. So the idea that there's a chance we could get out of this group, that's exciting. Makes me more likely to watch it.
So yeah, it's Monday, June 15th at noon, Belgium versus Egypt. That's the first game in Seattle, which, wow, that should be a fun game.
Yeah.
And Belgium isn't the power that they used to be. Their golden generation is aging out. I mean, they're still amazing, right? But they're not the Belgium we've known in the past few World Cups. Friday, June 19th, the game that I'm going to, USA versus Australia. My dad and I are going to go. Wednesday, June 24th at noon, Qatar versus one of the European teams. They have to make it through the playoff. Then June 26th, the day before my birthday, is Egypt versus Iran, which is a really interesting match. Then we have the round of 32 match at 1 p.m. on July 1st. And then at 5 p.m., on July 6th, the match that Alex has a ticket to, the round of 16, which will hopefully be the USA versus somebody. We don't know who. But Landon Donovan said, yep, we get the USA winning in the round of 16 in Seattle. Then they go down to L.A. and win in the Elite whatever. And then they can go to the Sweet Four, the Final Four. And then they can go beat Argentina in the championship. Spain, and then France, and then Argentina.
Yeah, I think whatever he has, the glue that they use for his hairpiece, it's seeping into his brain.
Trap. That's sod. That's real hair. They probably took it off his ass, but it's real hair. They grafted that shit in there.
Or his beard hairs, because they say, you know, facial hair is basically pubic hair.
It looks like real hair. It doesn't look like pubic hair.
No, but I think that we are looking at this group and we're overlooking our opponents, and that's never a good thing. I was listening to Pochettino talk after.
The team isn't. You heard Poch after when Alexi Lawless tried to be like, aren't you happy with the shitty group? And he was like, shut up, Alexi. These are real teams.
Yeah, Alexi's the same guy that said that the only person better than Pulisic was Ronaldo.
Yeah. I mean, he's a moron.
and he is, like, in charge of our USMNT fan base. He's like our spokesperson.
It's funny.
I don't know. A lot of people hate him, though.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not a big block behind him.
I've ever met anybody that liked him.
I like him.
Well, he's just rage bait.
Yeah.
You might find some in that Discord you're a part of.
I liked him a little bit back in the day when he first was kind of being a troll, but wasn't like over the top with it, because people would boo him and he would like blow kisses to them and stuff like that. Like, partially it was because he ended up having, it was when he would be paired with Taylor Twellman on on Fox or wherever they were. They were sick, so he had to do it by himself. And he was telling stories about when he was the first American player to move to Italy, and he would spoke no Italian, and he was all alone, and he would go back after every game and cry himself to sleep in his hotel room. And it was like, wow, dude, he was getting real deep with it, and it made me kind of feel bad for him and like him. And but then, you know, he got political pro-Trump stuff, and I was just like, shut up, Alexi.
That's always such a turn-off.
Here's the games in Canada. June 13th, we got Australia versus a European playoff team. June 18th, Canada versus Qatar. June 21st, New Zealand versus Egypt. June 24th, Canada, Switzerland. June 26th, Belgium, New Zealand. Then they have a round of 32 and a round of 16 match. So a lot of the same teams. I don't know if I want to see – I'd go see New Zealand, I suppose. But I don't know if I – like a Canada-Qatar match does not sound too exciting.
I don't know. I don't know. Some of these teams that, like the Qataris, the New Zealands, Australias, Australia did pretty good last World Cup.
Yeah.
And I will say that at least we're going to have Mo's going to be in Seattle for a few days. So you guys got your wish.
They better put their camp at Longacre.
No, he's being rumored to San Diego.
For real.
Need to break the news.
Oh, damn it.
I don't think it's possible. Or maybe, because they might have an open DP slot.
Oh, Iran's first two matches are in LA, and then they play up here, which they have a travel ban, but you're supposed to be allowed in for competitions like this. But they didn't allow them in for the draw, which is interesting. So they boycotted it because they weren't going to be able to fly into the country anyways. And they wouldn't let Haiti in either. So it's kind of crazy.
Oh, my God.
Why wouldn't they let Haiti in? Do we hate them now, too?
Gang violence.
It's complicated. But basically, Haiti, they said some Venezuelans helped murder, like some Venezuelans who were living in America helped murder the president. And then the vice president took over and only has the capital in Port-au-Prince.
Okay.
So. But really, from the news on the ground there, you know, running a nonprofit that's there, everyone there is pretty much like, no, the vice president had the president killed, and then the CIA blamed it on Venezuelans. So they just won't let Haitians in. I mean, I think they're afraid of people defecting too.
Yeah. Like,
you know, so. It's interesting, but yeah, it's it'll be an interesting thing to see what happens, especially because, you know, ICE is going to be very active during this time. And my hope, even though I am against them in general, but I hope they kick all the Crocodile Dundees out of Seattle. That's all I'm asking. Leave everyone else alone. Just get rid of all these Crocodile Dundees. I shouldn't even joke about ICE. Fuck ICE. But,
it's good for keeping your drinks cold.
That's it.
Only if it's crushed.
Nice one.
No, it's good for swelling. I have that on my ankle. Oh, that's the craziest. I got hurt coaching. Can you believe that?
Yeah, soccer's dangerous even when you're a coach.
Yeah, I was like talking to my other coach. And then next thing you know, I see a kid kick a ball towards me. And I lift my foot up and I put it down. And it was like I caught the end of the ball. Ooh. And all you hear is go, timber. Yeah.
Did you get your results back from your MRI?
I got an x-ray, but I'm pretty sure I didn't break nothing.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
Still, get used to that, young man. The older you get, you'll get that injury just by sleeping the wrong way.
Oh, physically, I feel like I'm in my 40s. I'm already there.
Yeah, I mean, I know Nicholas is talking about going to Mexico for some matches and Vancouver. I was hoping that Vancouver would have a little more variety. It makes sense that we're seeing the same teams play near each other, but it just would have been cool to have an elite team on the, like, in the Northwest. And I don't think we do.
Still looks pretty, like, a pretty interesting slate, all things considered. I'm looking at Santa Clara, you know, Levi's Stadium, and the lineup is honestly pretty underwhelming. Qatar versus Switzerland, Austria versus Jordan, likely Turkey versus Paraguay, Jordan versus Algeria, Paraguay versus Australia, and then a round of 32 match.
They don't get a round of 16? So, but, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, wow, this is... I'm glad I didn't, like, pay, you know, hundreds of dollars for a ticket.
Same, the whole West Coast got screwed, other than getting the USA. USA, yeah. Paraguay, Iran, New Zealand, Switzerland, playoff winner A, Belgium, Iran, and USA, UEFA playoff C winner.
Where are Mexico's games?
All in Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico City, probably.
Right.
Sense. They opened Mexico City against South Africa, which was who they opened up in 2010.
Yep.
And then Mexico will go to... They'll stay in Mexico City, but they should also play in Guadalajara.
Yeah.
But they don't have a game in Monterrey. No, but out of all the... Yeah, San Francisco got done the worst.
I'd like to see Ireland get into that group, and then South Korea and Ireland are going through.
That would be cool.
Yeah, Mexico's going to get three draws.
I mean, the way they're playing right now, that they'll be lucky to draw.
Well, I think one of their starting center backs, just dislocated his ankle yesterday.
Oof.
He blocked a shot. And the shot was hit so hard that when he planted his ankle, he dislocated it.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Group of death. Everyone says it's the French group. Just based on how good the top two teams are, I'd say, because that's what Brazil, Morocco, those two teams are just unbelievably good. Haiti and Scotland are screwed. But... truly, I think it's that France, Senegal, Norway, and then
it could be
Iraq.
Bolivia,
could be Iraq, Suriname. Bolivia, or Suriname. Yeah,
I don't know. Group F looks interesting because the Netherlands and Japan. I wouldn't sleep on Japan.
Oh, don't definitely sleep on Japan.
And then Tunisia could be interesting too. I never see them play, but they are very consistent as far as making World Cups.
Yeah. I mean, here's the fun thing is there's going to be a month of just watching soccer. And it's one of my favorite things. And it'll be at decent times because the games will be in between noon and 8 p.m. Like, there's no waking up at 5 a.m. to go to a bar and watch a match, or waking up to try and watch a match and falling asleep on the couch because it's fucking 5 a.m. Like, I'm really excited that we're going to be able to watch all these matches. It takes me back to 1994 when I was at Fat Camp in San Diego, and I would sneak off and I would go watch the 94 World Cup. It was a good time.
Yeah, I think they're going to follow the same scheduling as, like, Club World Cup.
Yeah, a lot of noon games, but on weekends you have some evening games.
Yeah, the European snobs are upset, but we were like, what we had to deal with it when we watched Qatar and Russia. So I'm like, deal with it. If you're a fan of your team, you're gonna stay up and watch it.
If you're a fan of your team, you're gonna come to the States.
Wait, if but they let aren't, you. aren't all the Euro snobs like in the United States?
I mean, like, he means snobs from Europe.
oh, you literally snobs.
The ones that like to eat an English breakfast.
Oh, you still do that. 2006 World Cup, I'd go down to Fado's and eat an Irish breakfast while watching World Cup. And Fado was still
on. Hell yeah.
See, I would like to see Northern Ireland in the World Cup. Just Ireland, not Northern.
Yeah, they still got a chance. They got to get through Czechia and
probably Denmark.
Denmark, yeah.
But I think if they win, they host. Like if yes. they win the semis, they host.
Because the lower the team that is not as good hosts for some reason. So if Italy wins their first match, they go on the road for the match to get through. It makes zero fucking sense. But you're rewarding the team that is not the higher rated team. But you know what? It's helping Ireland. So I want to see Ireland get in. The last time they did, 94? They beat Italy. So I'd love to see that again.
Oh.
Yeah, and then that could be interesting because they'll be in Group B with Canada, Qatar, and the Swiss. If Italy were to go through.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I wouldn't sleep on Nigeria. Was it Nigeria?
No.
And Wales?
Nigeria did not make it. They were knocked out.
Who's that?
They got knocked out. Cameroon got knocked out.
What's that? NIR.
Oh, Northern Ireland.
No,
oh,
but what's IRL?
They're in a playoff. IRL is the Republic of Ireland. NIR, yeah, that's Northern Ireland. They're in the playoff, though. They have to make it through. But I think they play Turkey, so they're not. I don't think anyone's beaten Turkey.
No, Turkey is the group. They're with Slovakia, Kosovo, and I don't know who the other one is.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. The USA is getting Turkey. Oof. Oh, that's
tough. Especially when they kicked their ass not too long ago.
I mean, we're a different team now, but.
It'll be a good game.
It'll be fun to see Christian in the World Cup.
All of them.
Maybe on my birthday, I need to head out to Texas and go watch Jordan play against Argentina.
If Messi probably was not even gonna, we don't even know if he's gonna play. He doesn't know yet. This is like 70-30% he plays, but
yeah, I think he plays. I think this is his swan song for international tournaments.
The game that I'm excited to see is Colombia versus Portugal.
Ooh. I mean, Colombia's a good team. That's
Colombia's good offense, ooh, especially Luis Diaz, the way that he's been playing this season.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Portugal should be without Ronaldo for the first 1 to 2 matches, but FIFA decided to go for money instead of following the rules, and he got his red card rescinded, even though it was clearly a red card. And so he will not. Ireland once again saves the world by getting Ronaldo kicked out of the World Cup, and then FIFA's like, nope. Such a bummer. Such a bummer.
And then I'm also excited to see Brazil, Morocco.
Yeah, that might be the best game of the entire group stages.
I don't know. Maybe Germany and Caraco.
But that's the World Cup.
Netherlands, Japan could be interesting.
My guess is that we can all go to one of those lesser matches, and tickets will be relatively reasonably priced, because they're going to be on the aftermarket, and people are going to be wanting to move on from them. I think people that went in and I don't know what they were thinking. They went in and bought group stage matches, not knowing who was going to play. And it was like, should have only bought the USA match. And the bad thing is FIFA is profiting off of the resellers. There's no longer a cap on tickets. They get money from both the seller and the buyer. They get a percentage. And so they want the price to go as high as possible. So they don't care about they don't care about how much people are charging. They don't want to put a max on it because they make more money if tickets go for more. So that's why, even with dynamic pricing, they're allowing the secondary market to be so high, because they also control the secondary market. Good job.
Awesome.
Good job, FIFA. You rule. But most importantly, we have the peace president right now.
Yeah.
the FIFA.
They made,
we did it, guys.
They gave him that so he wouldn't steal the World Cup trophy or a medal from Portugal when they won the World Cup.
Portugal ain't winning shit.
They're going to rig it for Ronaldo. It's already been... Just like how they said they rigged it for Argentina, they're doing it for Portugal.
The only people who say that are Netherlands fans, and Netherlands didn't even deserve to be in that game the way they cheat. So...
They're just sore losers.
Yeah, and their players are sore losers too.
Their star center back runs away and shows his butt to deflect the ball, and it goes in.
Well, we've been rambling for a while about the World Cup. Any other thoughts before we get out of here? It looks like Dan's ready for bed.
Oh, it is bedtime.
Okay, who?
Almost 8 o'clock.
Who?
Yeah.
Who's everybody's pick for winning the World Cup?
Oh, it's too early. Let me see who else is in the group.
No, I know it's too early. That's
yeah,
that's
the too early pick.
It.
Yeah.
I'll give you the final. I'll give you the final. It'll be Argentina and Spain.
USA is beating Spain.
Yami Yamal's gonna dance on us.
He's 17 years old. He's gonna be like, "Where's my mommy?"
They probably won't even.
Diego Luna is gonna like punch him or something.
I think France is the deepest team. They have to show up and actually score goals, but they, based on their depth, probably I would put them at the highest odds to win. And I wouldn't count out England. I don't obviously want them to win. And if they do, we've got to start another revolutionary war against them. But, as Alexi Lawless said, but he was like, never on the 250th or whatever, 25th anniversary of da 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 da, we can't let the British win.
They'll beat themselves.
I mean, he's right.
They'll lose in penalties.
They'll find a way to choke. Harry Kane's going to sky the ball like he did that last World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think they'll still make it far. I think it's going to be we might have a surprise in the round of, like with 8 teams left, was that the quarterfinals? I don't think we see any surprises in the semifinals. I think it's going to be France. You know, there'll be 6 to 8 teams that could probably make it there. France, Argentina, Spain, Germany. Just kind of depends on Portugal. Depends on the brackets and how it works out.
Well, they kind of set up the brackets in a way where they wouldn't play, like the top teams aren't going to play each other till the final.
That is kind of a bummer, right? It would have been much more fun if you had to have like the round of 32 is France, Spain, knock one of them out early, which guarantees a lower seeded team to make it up there.
But I mean, it's at the end of the day, the game isn't played on paper. It's played on the field. And you could have the best team on paper, but if you don't show up, you know, we've seen that happen before.
And or that's like the in the 94 World Cup, you could be like Colombia and your families could have been kidnapped and you were told you had to lose. Otherwise, you are going to have your family murdered.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's what they're going to do with Caraco.
poor Curaçao.
I know.
I'm picking the United States. Just because, why not?
I mean, I think they're...
Because if they do end up winning, I'm going to look like a fucking genius.
Yeah. They should have some extra oomph that I think they could get past the round of 16 into the round of 8. I mean, I think that's a possibility.
I think it depends on who gets
that's
called
pretty
up.
Good.
Yeah,
I would take
it depends
that.
On who gets called up. It depends on the path they have to go through to play. But I think with the home crowd, I think
Hopefully.
They can draw some stuff off of that. It'll be a home
yeah, with the,
at that point. The only team that would outdraw yeah. the USA would be Mexico, and I don't think there's any path for them to meet that early.
They got to make it out their group first.
Yeah, Mexico does.
They got to win. They can't
Mexico
just draw.
Might finish last.
No, I just think, I mean, if Christian gets called up, then the USA would go far.
Yeah, I think he will. Poach loves him.
Hopefully. Yeah.
He doesn't even need to play a minute. He's there for the locker room.
No, but he can play some time. Get off the bench. He's been in the high-pressure moments.
He didn't play last time.
Last World Cup?
Yeah.
That was under Greg, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got knocked out by England. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought they tied England.
They got knocked out by
Netherlands, right? 2-0, I think it was.
By cheating-ass Holland.
Haaland versus Mbappe is going to feed generations for this World Cup.
What about you, Dan? Any last words?
No, we'll. I'm interested to see what the offseason brings.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot more offseason Sounders talk. We got stuff coming. There's just nothing happening right now. I think they're letting everything focus.
I'm ready to.
Well, I think free agency opens like in 3 days.
Yeah, that's true. Free agency opens up on the either 10th or 11th. So that's going to be the big, we'll start seeing if people are moving around and if the Sounders, I mean, you've got to figure most of the free agents aren't a good fit, but there might be.
Tony Dotson?
Is he actually a free agent? Did they not pick up his option? He had an option, I believe.
I'm not sure, but that's just the name that I've been hearing is Dotson.
I mean, he's local, which is probably why they're saying that. He was born in Seattle and went to Oregon State. Let's see. It ended, and yeah, he's a free agency. He's in free agency, so. He is available. He earned $682,000 last year.
I think there's a quote from somebody in the organization that he's outside of the price that they're looking in.
Yeah, although if they're moving on from Fry, that's how much money they're going to have available just from Fry leaving. So,
or with how much Leva was making.
300K.
Leva was making...
No, but like Leva combined with JP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have like 1.something million available. But do you want to spend that all in one player? My guess is they say no, even though I think they should.
Yeah, because look, you sign Yusuke Konome. He can play in the middle and then on the wings.
Who's that?
The guy from Tacoma that Terror was like 20 or more goal contributions.
Oh yeah, the guy that they thought they were going to sign at the end of last season when we had no strikers.
Yeah, but he's not a striker. He's like a Dempsey-esque. He's like a 9.5.
Yeah, he's a false nine. But
we don't. What we need is a poacher. We don't need a false nine. We need someone that's a fox in the box. Someone that plays like Moose.
I mean, Danny's a poacher. We need either someone who can run fast, like, and be a poacher, like you said, with Raul, or we need someone big that's can be actually Osaze, but starting quality.
Yeah, because we don't need our striker to be in the build-up, because we have wingers that can do that. Yeah. Pedro can be in the build-up, and Jesus can be in the build-up. And Pedro's very direct.
Everyone but Nuhu could be in the build-up. I mean, both of our center backs, our right back.
Maybe not Thomas. We haven't seen enough of Thomas.
Yeah, we don't know about Thomas. You're right. But everyone else we've seen have assists. I think
Thomas could be the poacher, so.
Poor Andy. It's so sad that he was put in that position to be the one that missed the final goal.
Nah, we had two chances to win. I don't put that on him.
I don't either. But, you know, he had to feel that. Especially the dumbest rule ever where we were not allowed to have 11 players kick because they only had 10. It punished us for them getting a red card.
Christian probably would have scored.
I mean,
there was a 33% chance that he would have scored.
Yeah. I would have said yes prior to this playoffs, but don't let him shoot for the USA, though.
Earlier. Who holds the penalty shots? Coin flip.
Yeah, but he was probably in pain too, so he was in pain the whole shootout. Oh, yeah. So he wasn't fully concentrated.
That's true. All right, boys, let's get out of here. Where can they find you on the Discord? Discord's a little, I mean, it picked up for the World Cup, but it's a little quiet. So get in, sign up, get in there, talk soccer. Just because the season's over, there's always stuff to talk about. I went to the we didn't even talk about this. I went to the Ballard FC U.S. Open Cup match that they lost.
No.
That was super fun. They lost 1-0 on a like 81st minute goal from a team out of Fresno, the armpit of America. but they had Quincy Ameriquois on that team. And the star players for Ballard were Lamar Nagel and he got hurt. What's his name? McCrary. What was his first name? He used to be a Sounder.
Wasn't Killer role playing?
No, not this game. He did last year, and he may have played earlier, but yeah. So unfortunately, Ballard. So now there's zero Seattle representation with Defiance and the Sounders out, and Ballard knocked out. There's no.
God damn it!
There's Rufus Spokane.
Yeah, I can't root for Spokane.
Why not? What happened? What happened, Cameron?
They're the ones that hacked his Twitter.
That's like rooting for Gonzaga. I can never. Why would I root for them? It's the fucking worst team ever. I also don't root for the Spokane Chiefs because I'm a Thunderbirds fan.
Oh, fair. I'm conservative. Thunder,
fair.
It's Seattle Thunderbirds.
Oh. Don't bring up OKC, man.
No, you said Thunder. I said Birds.
Yeah. I will. All right, guys. It's been fun. We need to do this more often so that we're in regular season form.
Yeah. Let's do it.
We can get our Spotify numbers up.
Yep, sounds good. See ya.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.